Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The NBA, I'm taken care of afterwards. I'm a hometown hero. You always want that option available. And if these guys are good enough, and clearly they are from the way Penny Hardaway's recruiting them, man, get them here.
Yeah.
Because that, my friend, will get, hell, just their relatives alone. You know what I'm saying? Hell, all the wing guru folks. That alone will put more butts in seats. And I think, having watched these guys lead to more winning basketball, it's a balance. Penny Hardaway's going to find it, but I damn sure hope he can get Billy Richmond III and Curtis Gibbons III. I would love to see that. We're going to take a break. We'll talk to Mark Giannotto in about 20 minutes about the Tigers, this sort of where they are right now with next season, 2023, and the holes that Penny's got to fill, and the future, 2024. We'll discuss that, the Grizzlies, and more with Mark Giannotto when we get back. You're listening to Jason and John, 929 FM, ESPN. Hour number three, Mark Giannotto going to join us around 1:25. The Commercial Bureau columnist will talk to him about the usual topics. What's going on with the Memphis Grizzlies? We get set for the draft coming up. What's going on with the Tigers? Penny Hardaway recruiting for every year, including this year. Got holes to fill still. What direction should he go? What does Mark Giannotto expect on both as we look forward to the rest of the summer? What's some news over at ESPN? Not as much news as the latest mock draft from Jonathan Gamboni. Now that we've had the combine, pro days, he's got his latest mock draft out that I believe he dropped this morning, hot off the grill. Hmm. Yeah, 8 a.m. What's changed is nothing at the top.
No.
At least with the number one. That's going down, and it's not changed. I know some have, and you talk about just trying to get some content clicks. Some have come up with these with dream trades that the Spurs would consider to give up.
Yeah.
The chance to draft Wembanyama, and they've been wild, man. But you talk about an absolute waste of time. Because this one's obvious. You're not going any other direction than the 7'4", 7'5". I don't know which one he is today, but it certainly seems to change. French phenom. He's definitely going number one of the Spurs. That's not changing. We've discussed one of the big storylines in this draft. Before we get to what Gavone thinks, what he thinks the Grizzlies will do, one of the big storylines in this draft isn't about one. We know one. It's who's going to go at number two.
Right.
Whether that's Brandon Miller, the Alabama small forward, looks a lot like a young Penny Hardaway. Not saying their games are identical. They're not. But in terms of what he can do at 6'8", 6'9", athletic as he is, a lot like that. And then you've got Scoot Henderson, who for a long time was considered the consensus number two pick behind Victor Wembanyama, the G League Ignite point guard, 19 years old, reminds you a lot of Ja Morant with the athleticism. Again, the games aren't the same, and when I'm making these comparisons, I'm not suggesting that, but the athleticism, very similar. If you've seen any YouTube clips or highlights of Scoot Henderson dunking on people, it reminds you a lot of Ja Morant just in terms of how they can keep going up. So does Charlotte take Scoot Henderson, put him in a backcourt that already includes LaMelo Ball, who's playing some point guard for you? I've seen some, including Sam Vecenie, who think it could work. I've seen others say no way, that the obvious move for Charlotte would be to take the 6'9 forward in Brandon Miller, who can, while he didn't shoot it well in the tournament, we've seen him shoot the ball well, do everything at that size. You love it. That will be, again, what Charlotte decides to do. Brandon Miller or Scoot Henderson will be one of the big storylines, because a lot of the rest of the draft, you know, will turn off of, will revolve around that. In terms of the top five, Amen Thompson, we've discussed the two, the Thompson twins, Amen considered in terms of his athleticism the elite tier of the NBA the moment he steps in. Point guard, shooting guard, I think 6'5". I don't have his size in front of me right now, but he's got the Houston Rockets taking Amen Thompson out of overtime elite number four, and then the Detroit Pistons taking Cam Whitmore out of Villanova, the small forward. So let's go down to what Gavoni has got the Grizzlies doing as we get set for, again, a very important offseason. You got to figure at some point the Grizzlies have got to consolidate some of these picks. You can't keep bringing in rookies on this roster. But as for now, we know Grizz got two picks, and in terms of what Gavoni's got projected to them, let's see, at number 25 with their pick, he's got him taking Bryce Sensabaugh, the small forward, power forward, combo forward out of Ohio State. Yes. Let me see. Here's what he writes. Sensabaugh has been hobbled by a knee issue. He suffered late in Ohio State season, which required surgery, and has thus far prevented him from conducting competitive team workouts, a source told ESPN. He nevertheless shot the ball well at his pro day last week, according to teams that were present, and recently got clear to begin visiting and working out for teams, which should help reveal a better picture of where his draft stock lies in the coming weeks. We've had enough with knee injuries and everything else around here. I know, you know, Chandler Parsons wasn't coming out of college, but that was again, you get the medicals on him, you see what he can do, and perhaps it's done. But I can't sit up here and tell you I'd be super excited about that one. Before I get your take real fast, at 45 in the second round, he's got the Grizzlies. This one's interesting. Amari Bailey, the UCLA point guard who really came on at the end of the season for them. I think for the season, the numbers don't blow you away. I got those now, 11.2 points, 3.8 rebounds, 2.2 assists in the 30 games, missed more than a month because of a foot injury. But by the end of the year, Mick Cronin was calling him one of the best guards in the country by the time they were making that tournament run. Yeah, averaged 17.3 points on 56.1% shooting over his last six games, including a career-high 26 points against Colorado in the Pac-12 tournament. He got hot late, Amari Bailey did, and he decided recently to be one of the many UCLA players that are heading on now to the NBA. We know Memphis in need of another point guard in the organization, having moved on for Kennedy Chandler last year, you know, deciding to go with Kenneth Lofton on that playoff roster. So you need one in. We've discussed, at least I have off-air, I'm not sure how much we've discussed it on-air, how much I would love to see the Grizzlies take a chance on Kendrick Davis, putting him in this organization, you know, making him a guy that maybe undrafted. Maybe you don't spend the draft pick on him, but you bring him in as an undrafted free agent. You give him a shot at one of the two-way deals, and you just see what you've got. I would tell you Kendrick Davis, cream's going to rise to the top, and you're probably going to like what you see. But along those lines, Amari Bailey, a guy that you could do the same thing with, again, showed some great flashes there at the end of the year with UCLA in terms of the way he came on late. It's clear to me you've got to get a point guard in the fold. I loved what you had with Kennedy Chandler, and frankly, we could go back and look at that decision now. The fact that you didn't play Kenneth Lofton in the playoffs, I know you ended up signing him to a four-year deal, but moving off a guy in Kennedy Chandler who you felt good about, certainly had the NBA athleticism and was growing within your organization, well, now it feels like sort of a start-over point, wanting to start over with another young guard. Maybe it's Amari Bailey with the 45th pick. Maybe it's a guy like Kendrick Davis in terms of an undrafted guy, but certainly you would think Grizzlies going to get a point guard to go along with what I think is more shooting, but at some point, too, you can't keep drafting rookies, and you've got to consolidate some of these guys and hopefully go out and upgrade, use that to get an upgrade at the three spot, right?
Well, I do think you need to upgrade the three spot, which is why I think that they put Sensabaugh in the first round as the projected possible pick for the Grizzlies in that first round pick. I am not going to act like I studied Ohio State basketball this past year, but I like where they're going with the Grizzly needs. And I also liked your thought on, you know, the Kennedy Chandler replacement for the G League spot, because they waived him because of the roster spot coming into the playoffs. He'll probably be on a roster, by the way. I mean, Kennedy Chandler will probably play this summer. Probably end up.
I have
on
no
roster.
Doubt.
You know, that's my expectation. But as far as Sensabaugh, so I'm looking at the stats now, and he got injured. That's probably why he's available. I mean, he shot a good quantity here too. He shot 148 three-pointers in that year. I mean, he made 60 of them. He was shooting 40%. I mean, it was crazy from three, which is amazing at 6'6".
And the Grizzlies last year, all those guys that they drafted were 40% or over from three. And
right.
That's obviously, you look at the NBA now, you look at the shooting needs last season and how they were not filled. Guys let you down.
He's a shooter.
Last year.
Yeah.
I mean, they've identified that as something you've got to get in here. That said, I mean, just because they all shoot over 40%,
right.
I mean, they're going to be ready to come in and play,
yep.
And certainly not in that spot at a time where I agree with, you know, Chris Harrington, who added today over the Daily Memphian, that, you know, expectations are they start now.
Yeah,
like it's the core three. Forget what you're going to do with
it gets
Dylan.
Ramped up.
The core three set, yep. And the expectations really start now. You've been the second seed in the West for two straight years, and people are saying, okay, you know, nationally, mm-hmm. They're saying, well, is this team going to continue to spin its wheels, or is it going to come up and be a true contender? And so, you know, having rookies in these key spots, I just don't think you can play that game at this point. Hopefully you can consolidate some of it, and hopefully in the process add some shooting.
I think that's exactly
again,
right, Jason.
You can identify it and it not come through for you.
Right.
And so whatever it takes, you've seen it. You saw it with the way Miami shot the ball from three in Game 7 and the way all of their role players, it feels like,
yes.
From Caleb Martin to Gabe Vincent to Duncan Robinson, they're all shooters around Bam and Jimmy.
Yes.
I mean, the Celtics, they are far too reliant on the three, but let's be real. It's the same thing. Everybody on that team can shoot, and the Grizzlies are in them. You have to you got three
right.
In Bane, Jaren, and Ja, and frankly, one of them is not a three-point shooter. You've got to get closer to where you can get to a point where you've got, again, like they've got around Bam and Jimmy, everybody else can shoot.
That's right.
And so, ideally, that's what you want. I just don't think you can continue to go down the same path of adding two three rookie draft picks and thinking that, oh, they're going to pay off for us at some point,
right.
Regular season, more importantly, playoffs. They don't.
You're exactly right.
So finding the right mix of these guys, of these rookie guys who, develop. Maybe Roddy is one of them.
Yeah.
We will see. Maybe even, I said it yesterday. I still hope LaRavia, at his size, with the way he can shoot, mm-hmm. that there's a place for him in this rotation. We saw it with Santi Aldama.
Right. Oh, he's good.
Many had written him off after that first season.
Santi's
he
good.
Shot like 9%. I'm exaggerating. It was 11, 21, whatever it was, from three in the G League that first season. There was no reason to look at him and say, well, this is going to be a guy that can contribute in a rotation next season. And look what happened. He did. And so, again, you like the makeup of the guys they've brought in, but clearly they're going to have to consolidate some of them. I highly doubt they come in here with two – rookie first-round draft picks,
right.
But finding some that can shoot, hopefully contribute down the road. I saw there's a few people out there that are still in Zaire's camp, too. I thought I was one of the few left because of how much John Martin and Anthony Sane beat me down about every time I said, well, you can't write him off yet. We're at least going to do one more summer league in early next season. But there's a group of folks out there who have got the tape broken down that will tell you that, the Grizzlies haven't done a great job with doing the things that Zaire does, in terms of
usage.
Now, listen, injury last year slowed that down, but I'm not the only one on Zaire Williams Island in terms of my hopes
that, I ain't right back,
that
though.
He can
That's
still
the problem.
Possibly contribute here. Zaire ain't the key to winning a championship here for the Memphis Grizzlies, but they did invest a lot in terms of moving up, and I just thought in that Golden State series a couple of playoffs ago, he showed enough that I ain't ready to give up yet. So, writing off rookies is and first-year, second-year guys is something we do a lot of around here. Hopefully some of the ones that they've gotten, LaRavia, Zaire, can still pay off, and you bring in at least one more that maybe down the line.
Jason, I think you're exactly
still
right.
Still got to get older, though. In the grand scheme, we're not going to be talking about rookies in terms of making it through the playoffs next year and whether or not you're a true contender. But it is the edge work that's necessary, whether you're consolidating some of these guys or the ones that you've got can shoot and match the physicality. They've got to find a balance. It was the wrong balance last year. They went too young. It's like times when you overschedule in college basketball. Mm-hmm. You go too hard. You don't have a roster that can handle it. They went too young last year. Kleiman called it tripling down. Be interested to see where that balance comes down and what they end up doing later. I guess we're a day away from June.
Yeah.
So
tomorrow is June 1st.
It'll be this month's NBA draft come tomorrow.
Yeah.
All that'll be coming. It'll be exciting.
I'm excited about the NBA draft. I always get excited about Memphis, you know this. We got a bunch of hoopers here. Like, we talk about summer league like it's a regular season around here.
Yeah, we do. We absolutely do. We'll get up for the summer league and I'm sure tell ourselves that, maybe we can even win a championship. We'll get more into it than we need to be. And Lord knows I'll be watching. I mean, while you would you're going to have Zaire Williams out there again, right? This isn't a deal where he's graduated to a position where you're not putting him out there. You're absolutely going to have Zaire, I would imagine, in that same spot you had him last year when you were saying, go be playmaker. We want to put more on you. You're just going to do it again and essentially hope that you know you can just kind of erase what was a disappointing year last year.
Well, I think you look for Roddy and Zaire Williams to go dominate this summer. Those two, right? And then you obviously want to see if LaRavia can shoot again and be on the main roster, not in the G League this year.
The thing with Zaire is he's better like as a mid-range guy off the dribble than he is a catch-and-shoot guy, which is what the Grizzlies needed for him. Others have made the point, I'm not the first to this, that you know as that catch-and-shoot guy, that's what they needed from him last year in that offense. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily. It's not where
like
he is with his game
three
right
type,
now.
Yeah.
It's not where he is with his game right now. Yeah, that's what you wanted him to do. Mm-hmm. It's how it fit this year. But I'd love to see Zaire more like we've seen in Summer League and some other places where you're using him mid-range. He's getting to the basket off the dribble. Like, that's more where his game is. I don't know if the two things ever align with what the Grizzlies need from him compared to what he can do. Maybe they're always going to need him as just that corner guy that can be sort of the 3-and-D type.
Yeah.
But
I think he's got to be more than that, though. I mean, you didn't draft him to set him in the corner at 6'9" and do
10,
that.
Right, at 10. Yeah. And he's got more than that. Again,
he's an athlete.
The body, all of that still has to come together. A lot of this is on Zaire himself, but I'm still hopeful he can at least be a contributor. If you're not packaging him up, you've convinced some other team that he can be useful there. You're not packaging him up to improve at another position that hopefully he can still pay off here. But a draft coming up. Next month will be this month come tomorrow. Excited about that. Grizzlies obviously got two picks. Should be exciting at number two with what the Charlotte Hornets do. We'll discuss some draft perhaps with Mark Giannano. Definitely going to discuss some Tigers, though, where Penny Hardaway is, what you can do to improve attendance perhaps. It was the CA, Mark Giannano's outfit that had that season ticket sales have gone down 25%. What you do to improve that, what you do next, all of that in front of us when we talk to Mark Giannano. Here back from the break, you're listening to Jason and John, 92.9 FM.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
ESPN. Mark Giannano is an award-winning sports columnist at the Commercial Appeal, co-host as well, the Giannano and Jeffrey Show. You should be listening to it. You can hear it every day here from 2 to 4. Be right on after us here on 92.9 FM ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter. You should be at mgiannato. Read him at commercialappeal.com. He joins us now. Mark, I was, I must say, and knowing sort of where you've come from and some of the things you've covered, I was missing you at EYBL this weekend, although I knew he's probably somewhere with his feet up at some resort. And maybe he ain't missing us as much. Did you miss?
Oh, yeah, I definitely had some
You
FOMO.
Did, like, one Team Thad story before you went off for vacation, so you kind of said. Yeah. But did you miss it all not being there?
Oh, yeah. No, I wish I had been there.
My gosh, it was beautiful, Mark.
Yeah. You know, pre-pandemic, I covered EYBL a decent amount.
Yes, sir.
Whether it was Here's the Beat Writer or even when I was at the Washington Post. But, you know, I missed it. It sounded like it went off great, though. And
you, like me, always loved those environments. You could get so much out of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's just so many different people there who, you know, just know stuff.
Are in the know.
Yeah. And it's like, you know what? It is like a bit, you know, it is a bit slimy at times. Like, it just is. It's a meat market at times. But there's also, like, that grassroots basketball scene gets a bad rap sometimes because of its, you know, there's bad apples. But it's like, it's just like every other industry. There's bad sports journalists. There's bad radio hosts. There's bad, you know, there's bad teachers. You know, like in every walk of life. And, you know, there's a lot of good people who coach grassroots basketball and people who have the right intentions and just are, you know, it's a cool scene when you really, if you really spend a bunch of time around it, because it's filled with a lot of earnest people who are, you know, I do think, you know, while it is a lucrative business at times, I think even that part of it gets a little overblown. Like, there are some people making a lot of money through grassroots basketball, but there are also a lot of people who aren't, who are just doing it, you know? And so, I always enjoy being a part of it. And I don't think I've been to a recruiting event, like a AAU event like that, since the pandemic.
Yeah.
Just because they haven't happened. I mean, I guess there were a few events like that. Like, remember when the Iverson Classic came here? That was kind of similar to...
Because you had Banchero and some of the top guys.
Yeah. But nothing quite like having an EYBL event here. I mean, the reality is, if you go back and look... over time, over whatever it is, the past 10, 12 years, however long the EYBL has been around, like in this, you know, a lot of these teams have been around much longer than that, but the very organized league and high-end league part of it, where they, you know, Nike has done a good job, better than all the other outfits, of like making winning at least somewhat important to the whole process. You know, it's not just trying to impress the college coaches. There's an incentive. The Peach Jam is like a real thing. I just think when you look back over time, I bet you out of this weekend, there's probably going to end up being like, you know, 10, 15 guys who were like big-time players in the NBA who played in Memphis this past weekend.
No question about it.
So it was I'm really glad it went off well, it sounds like. Everyone, the facility is beautiful, obviously, but then it was well run, it was organized, the facility worked for that type of volume of people. And it's, you know, the reality is there, and I heard mention this, there's a lot of competition for these types of events now, because like every city, every city, but a lot of cities have these types of facilities. Memphis is kind of, you know, honestly, like a couple years behind the boom in terms of these facilities. You know, Atlanta, Indianapolis, Dallas, Phoenix, you know, Louisville has one. You know, like everyone has one of these. But Memphis does have a leg up in that, especially, particularly for the EYBL, I mean, Nike has a huge presence in Memphis. And so I suspect, I'm not going to predict every year.
No, but
as long as, things go well like they did this past weekend, you're going to continue, I think, to consistently get these types of events to that facility.
What's the, because you've covered it, maybe you know, I'm curious if you do, North Augusta always stays the same, the Peach Jam, once you go through,
that's
right?
Yeah, like it's like a history thing.
Tied where that's just going to be a lifetime deal and never comes out of there? You're always going through these rotational sites to get to North Augusta? Or?
I mean, I don't think you could call it. Peach Jam was a pre-existing tournament that Nike kind of like took over.
And Georgia being with it affiliated there.
And then Nike, you know, if you've been down, I don't know when the last time you went to Peach Jam
It's been 6-7 years, I guess.
Okay. Were you there when they added two new big gyms to it?
Oh, no. I haven't seen any additions.
And like Nike paid for
Riverview
all of that.
Riverview Park like, Activity like, Center.
Yeah,
one
like
minute.
Nike has paid.
They added the building themselves?
I believe so. Wow. Or at least paid for a decent chunk. Because that facility has no need to have extra gyms.
Nothing else 11, goes on except
11
people working
months
out.
Out of, yeah. yeah, 11 months out of the That's year. They didn't need the extra gyms. But then those are like the
two. Well, that's investment because we're playing the state. Now you're answering
and,
the question.
And, you know, there's, I think they've, you know, for whatever reason, they're comfortable there. But, and it's become a thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, now it's, why would you mess with it? It's like a what everybody wants to
it's
get
It's honestly
to.
Become, at least, again, I haven't been since the pandemic. Like this, I guess this year is going to be, Heard said, really feel like the first
that's
real
normal.
Peach jam that's normal. Like even last year, like Heard's team, Team Thad had to like, I think they had to like forfeit a game because, or not forfeit, they just lost a bunch of good dudes because of COVID testing. Mm-hmm. And for the bigger game, one of their bigger games at Peach Jam. And I think that'll probably stay the same. I mean, it's not the easiest trek, you know, like ultimately you have Augusta, Georgia across the river. And so there are a decent amount of hotels there because, you know, that's where the Masters takes place. There's some infrastructure there. But it's like always difficult. You can fly into Augusta. Some people fly into Atlanta and just drive back and forth.
Yeah.
But it isn't, that is not, yeah, definitely not an ideal location. Like these other places, like I've been to the one outside Indianapolis, although that's like, it's in like the suburbs. It's not in Indianapolis. Like the Memphis one is close to the airport near, you know, in actual Memphis. And Atlanta's is also in the suburbs. Although the one thing that the Indianapolis and Atlanta ones and some of these other cities have that I think Memphis is going to have, if you want to continually get high-end events like this, like all those other facilities like this have some hotels around them.
Right.
Like have not high-end hotels, like a Hampton Inn or like what, you know, somewhere where like, frankly, if you're going to have these events, these people can who are coming from out of town can stay really close to where the venue is, as opposed to, you know, 10, 15 minutes away. And I know that's in the plans for Liberty Park, but, you know, who knows? Yeah. It's plans.
Exactly.
Who knows?
How significant or insignificant to you is the fact that, you know, Bryce James, son of LeBron, is in there playing in Ja Morant's shoe?
Oh, I thought it was a big deal for Ja.
Me
that
too.
It,
me too.
You know, like, to me, for that to happen, that means LeBron gave his okay for that to happen, and it means Nike was like, okay, we're gonna put Ja 1s on a very prominent person's foot. Like they're both Nike and LeBron had to sign off on something like that happening, and the fact that they did, I think, is a sign of support for Ja Morant, implicitly. And so I thought that was a very big deal.
I mean,
in
his shoes
regard.
Were everywhere through that thing.
Yeah,
but having like, Bryce do it too is, to your point, what you got to go through to get there.
Well, it's that and no, but I think you make a good point that the greater context of it is their marketing angle with these shoes in particular is that Ja's the first Gen Z athlete that they've given a signature shoe to. And this is putting it on, you know, the 16-year-old, you know, a lot of big-time recruits.
They know what they're doing.
But again, it's not just they know what they're doing. It's the fact that they were willing to do that, I think, is a good sign for
Brad,
Ja.
Hopefully they're comfortable, because if they are, like this thing, you could take off.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like it's a good-looking shoe. Like, I totally understand. Like, from you take out the what's happened with Ja lately, like just taken as like a regular shoe, like even if you remove Ja's name from it, it's like a good looking shoe.
But what matters more to them though, and looks do matter, you know, but John was making the point that maybe because of the price point at 110, he's worn them on a basketball floor, and he's all like, we're not talking about some athlete or even anything close to one, but he was saying that they were a little slick on the bottom, and he thought, because of the price point, maybe it's the material used. But I didn't see anybody slipping in them, you know, this weekend. Again, that's one version of the ones he's got. These were an EYBL version. But if it's got the look and they're the ones that feel the best, the players, like Bane had to wear the LeBrons because of his toe, if these are the most comfortable shoes for those guys, dude, it's going to blow.
Yeah. Well, and I just think
if he doesn't blow it.
The way they've built the shoe, it's not like a basketball player's shoe. It's like it could be a female shoe. It could be a kid's shoe. It could be a basketball player's shoe. It could be like just a shoe you wear casually. Like they've done a nice job just modeling the shoe, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think it appears, at least to me, they've done a very good job strategically releasing the shoe given the circumstances. Like there's, I don't like.
Do you think it's been smart not to make a statement?
Well, I'm talking more about like they've created these like, oh, demand for the shoe, it's selling out. But I think when you really peel back the curtain, they're not releasing very many shoes
at
all.
No, it's a very limited amount.
And I think that's probably smart in the grand scheme of things.
But is it more limited?
Right now. It's definitely more limited.
Because of what's happening.
I'm talking like this is because of the circumstances.
Strategy.
I think if Ja had not gotten himself into this pickle,
there would be more
They would be shoving these things down our throat. I think my suspicion is those ads we saw with his family that were released on social media prior to the second gun incident, those would have been all over the NBA playoffs, the entire NBA playoffs.
Yeah, they look like they put a lot into the production of
like
them, the ones I watched.
Like they had to pull that back.
Yeah, they did.
That would be my informed speculation because of what happened. They could not promote him like that during the NBA playoffs because of the first incident. And then now I think you're seeing just in general with his shoe release, you know, they're being very careful about how they do it because, you know, it's, you know, treacherous terrain right now, given what's happened, what's taken place off the court for him.
You've mentioned, if I'm not mistaken, Ja, and I thought it was good advice, if it should turn the social media over to a pro.
Yes.
How much attention are we paying to who's following, who's unfollowing? And would any of this be some of that perhaps?
Yeah, I'm not sure how much to put into it or not to put into it because I find it's like crazy to me. I almost feel bad for Ja Morant that there's literally someone out there who's tracking who he's unfollowing.
It's more than one person.
No, I know. Like,
we see.
Like it was so many people that like it showed up on my Twitter feed on whatever it was, Sunday morning, Monday morning, whenever people woke up and I guess at that night before and he had unfollowed Devontae Pack. I mean, I look at it a couple ways. One, like, just because he unfollowed him doesn't mean, you know, like, you know, that, who knows?
Doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Who knows? I don't know what to put in that. But then the other part of it for me is just, like, if Devontae Pack is truly, like, one of Ja's deepest best friends, like, you know, this longtime friend, like, the point here to me is not for him to, like, lose all these people that he feels are important in his life. It's for him to figure out how to function in this new version of his life where he is under this huge spotlight productively with those people. And, it probably means not having them around as much necessarily, but like I would hate for him to like lose his, you know, like people like have looked at him unfollowing Devontae Pack. It's like, oh, he's like ditching, you know, like he's finally getting rid of this like hanger on. Like, but like it seems to me, while they've obviously made some crucial and huge mistakes, like there is a real genuine deep relationship there between Ja Morant and Devontae Pack. And I would hate for him to, like, I'm just thinking as just a human being, it's about him learning how to function productively in the environment he has now created for himself by being such a wonderfully gifted, amazing basketball player and sort of someone who appeared until 3 or 4 months ago to be like a really promising just corporate spokesperson, to be quite honest. Like you have to learn how to function with those people in your life. I don't like the way it's being portrayed as like him like totally ditching his friend. Cause like to me, the point is to learn how to be like a productive person and still be able to keep your friends.
Well, it can't be that, right? Cause Brown was the first to tell me. And then I saw some others yesterday. It wasn't just DTAP or Devontae, but his dad was one of them. Is that the other people have got?
I guess. And like,
he's not cutting off his dad. That's maybe your point.
And like, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Like maybe he did turn it over to a PR professional and the person who unfollowed it was like, you know, Mr. or Mrs. PR pro, you know, like whoever's taking over. I don't know. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I struggled to like determine how much to actually read into it. Like it is what it is. I just honestly, like, I kind of wish I just didn't know. Like I don't like the fact that there's like there are people out there who's like, we're going to track Ja to the point that we're going to follow we're going to figure out who he's following and who he's unfollowing. It's crazy.
That's it. That's what we're dealing with in terms of the level of superstar now.
I know.
With where he's put himself with decisions, the attention that he's drawn, some of it the wrong kind of attention.
But it does feel like it will do him well to withdraw from social media, at least for the time being. And it seems like that's the decision he's coming to, whether it be, last week, even though it involved a wellness check. And now this, it seems like in general, it is all at least pointed in the direction of withdrawing from social media, not, latching onto it still.
We were just going through Gavone's latest mock draft. What do you think the chances are? Are they low that they come in here with two rookies first and second round pick?
I think it...
Right? At some point, you got to consolidate. That's what I
mean. The only way I could see them bringing in multiple rookies is if, they make some...
They give up a bunch of guys
in a big trade. Like, they've pulled off a big... Ahead of the draft or during draft night, they pulled off a big trade. And so, you involved in that trade is giving up a bunch of guys.
How hopeful are you that they can do just that scenario right there?
It's interesting because I think it's just the reading the trade market these days, it's changed so much. Like I went back and looked. Like Denver, when it went and got Aaron Gordon, this was at the trade deadline of 2021. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the type of move you're looking for the Grizzlies to make here. Is find that elite role player, if you will. And that, Gordon has been pretty good for Denver.
Yeah.
But to get him, what it took was Gary Harris Jr., RJ Hampton in his rookie year, and a future first round pick. That's all it took to get Aaron Gordon.
Wow.
Years later at the trade deadline,
four first round picks
wouldn't get you OG Anunoby, who feels like kind of an equivalent type of player to Aaron Gordon. And so that's where the trade market is so hard to read.
We still don't know what Windhorst was saying, just to your point about what the Raptors are going to do, what they've decided in terms of how available they're going to make some of these guys or not. We don't know. And he was saying they're one of the biggest wild cards because if that opens up OG Pascal where they're make them tradable, it can change the league a little bit.
I think there will be more players. I think we're focused too much
on OG.
He will be part of this, but I think there's going to be other players who come available that we're not looking at right now. Like someone brought up a name to me last week where I was like, oh yeah, that makes some sense. Like Philadelphia is going to change this season in some form or fashion because Harden's not going to come back. And for them to go get people forget Harden's cap number is not that high this year. And so to go get a big time guy, if they want to go get another big time guy to pair with Joel Embiid, and I suspect that's what Nick Nurse is thinking. Tobias Harris is a guy who might be on the market, for instance. That's a guy who could, he wouldn't be, I'm not saying he's the ideal choice, but he'd be a pretty good, fit in that spot. He's got 1 year left on his he makes too much money, but it's only for a year. And I'm not saying that's what the Grizzlies are going to do. I'm just saying there's moves that I think it does depend. It's not just, now the Wizards look one of the big stories to come out of them hiring their new GM is finally Leonsis, in order for him to take the job, Leonsis, the owner there, had to give him the option to blow it up. Because for the last couple years, Leonsis was not willing to blow it up. Right. And so they could, the Bulls, no one knows about them. There's a lot of teams that it feels like, I think, could open up, if you will. And people focus on the obvious ones like Lillard in Portland and OG in Toronto and Jaylen Brown in Boston. But I think there's going to be layers to this. But at the same time, it's going to be hard, I think. This is the type of move that's difficult to pull off. And I think this is going to be a difficult offseason that's going to test the Grizzlies front office, more so than any other they've been through thus far. Going to be the hardest move to pull off, I think, of all the moves they've had to do so far.
I'm with you. I had some Penny Hardaway questions for you, but we've held you too long. Appreciate your flexibility today.
No problem.
And as always, he is Mark Giannotto. Listen to him here from 2 to 4 on 929 FM ESPN. You read him at commercialappeal.com. We'll be back, wrap it all up before we hand it off to Giannotto and Jeffrey. You're listening to Jason and John, 929 FM ESPN.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wrapping it up on a hump day, Brad Carson brought this to my attention earlier on during the show. Wanted to get to it real fast before we get out of here, get you set up for Giannotto and Jeffrey up next. Ron Holland, number two ranked senior in class of 2023, had been signed with Texas, decommitted from Texas, released from his letter of intent. Arkansas at first was thought to be a favorite to maybe get him. He is going the G League Ignite path.
Yeah.
He announced today that was news. Obviously, with how high a prospect he is, what his plans were after he got out of that, you know, commitment signing with they got his release from Texas. What was going to happen? Well, nowadays, man, and I guess it's something that's going to continue to be. We wondered about the sustainability of the G League and whether or not it would have guys ready enough for the draft by the time you got through there. We wondered it with guys like Jalen Green. Now Scoot Henderson has come through. Scoot Henderson's probably going to be the number two or number three pick. Jalen Green, a high draft pick. It's here to stay.
Yeah,
it looks like. And it again, if you are a college coach in this instance, the Texas head coach, if you're Penny Hardaway and you've got one of these top 10 guys,
yeah,
you know, you're always going to have to sort of fight off those professional outfits, and now one like that appears that it's going to be around for a while because again, they are getting guys ready for the league in a good way.
Well,
so
some of
Holland
those,
Holland to the G League Ignite.
Those Ignite salaries too, even for those first year non drafted players.
Good.
It's like between 250 and 500 if you're top 10.
Take it all day long.
If you're right, if you're one of the top.
Yeah. If you're one of the top guys, you can do it. You can go that route. You don't have to go the college route.
Yeah.
Ron Holland has decided he will not. So hate it for Texas. Hate it for Arkansas. I'd hope to get him, but a good deal for him. That's all we got today. Make sure you stay tuned for Giannotto and Jeffrey. For appreciate our guests, Norton Hurd IV, and, of course, the aforementioned Giannotto. For Brad Carson, for my man John Martin, and for me, we're gone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.